2, and we just want to focus our attention on one verse this morning to start with here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness," now notice this phrase, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Keep that phrase in mind, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity that we have this morning to look into it. We pray that through the workings of your Holy Spirit, you'll speak to our hearts and help us each to understand and draw principles from the scriptures this morning that we can use in our service for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We live in a nation where it seems like respect and honor are no longer top priorities. Even though our Bible clearly says in Romans 13, 7, to give honor to whom honor is due. There seems to be a lack of honor and respect in our day and age. For example, respect for the elderly is something that is missing in our society. We see a lot of rudeness, and much of it is directed toward the elderly. Society seems unwilling to make adjustments for the elderly, and the fact that maybe they can't hear as well as they used to, or maybe they can't see as well as they used to, or maybe they can't move as fast as they used to. But you know what? Young people need to realize that one day they too are going to get old, and they will want people to treat them with respect when they can no longer see or hear or move around as they once did. And I believe we need to show as much respect as possible when we are dealing with the elderly. I believe this. I believe you can tell a lot about a nation by the way they treat their elderly. But I also believe this. I believe you can learn a lot about a nation by the way they treat their veterans. I believe that. Now, Friday, we will be celebrating Veterans Day. And as a nation, we will honor all of our veterans. But this morning, we want to honor all the veterans who are with us in the worship service today. And so if you have served in the United States military, or you are currently serving in the United States military, I would ask you to stand this morning so we can honor you. If you've served our country, please stand so we can honor you this morning. I want to applaud you and thank you. We want to thank you for your service to our country. You can be seated. We want to thank you for your service to our country, and we want you to know that we appreciate your willingness to lay your life on the line for the cause of our freedom and liberty. And I can guarantee you this, as long as I am the pastor of Community Baptist Church, you will have a place of honor and respect in this church. You will. We appreciate your service to our country. So thank you very, very much. Now, changing our direction just a little bit here, For the rest of our time together this morning, I want us to take a look at what is required to become a true veteran of the cross of Christ. Now, in many churches like ours, they have two flags that stand before the congregation. The American flag, which represents our country, and the Christian flag, which represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom. And to serve either of these flags and the kingdoms they represent, and I mean to serve them faithfully and effectively, there are certain requirements that must be met. For instance, as we serve the Christian flag and the American flag, first of all, it is a service of choice. A service of choice. Through the ages of time, nations have had to consider how they would recruit soldiers to fight their battles. Now, if you're familiar with United States history, you know that the first U.S. draft occurred during the Civil War. But in 1973, President Richard Nixon inaugurated the AVF, the All-Volunteer Force. Now, critics immediately stated that they were concerned that volunteerism would not provide enough replacements should war come. But instead, you know what's happened? The military has had no problem filling its ranks with top quality personnel, none whatsoever. As of today, a young man doesn't have to be concerned about receiving a draft notice from Uncle Sam telling him he must serve. Today, they are asked to volunteer to serve. Well, God must think the same way, because if you become a soldier of God, it will be because you have volunteered. He doesn't force anyone to serve. He's not going to kick you out of bed on Sunday morning. He wants you to come to church because you are grateful for the opportunity to worship him for all of his goodness towards you. He's not going to knock you down and take your billfold and pull out the tithes and offerings that belong to him. He wants you to give voluntarily. He wants you to give cheerfully and not grudgingly. He's not going to force anyone to be active in the different ministries of the local church. And he's not going to coerce anyone into witnessing to the lost about Christ. Everything we do in relationship to him has to be because we love him enough to serve. Now, we understand that the Holy Spirit serves as the recruiting agent for the kingdom of God. He does all that he can to recruit men and women to volunteer to serve. We've all seen the large poster of Uncle Sam pointing his finger at us and saying, "I want you." And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit says to every single believer when it comes to Christian service. He says, "I want you. I want you." It is the will of God that all Christians should serve. But he does not force anyone to serve. Unfortunately, it is possible, according to the Word of God, to resist the Spirit, to quench the Spirit, and to grieve the Spirit. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit is pleading today for Christians to volunteer to give themselves to his service. In Romans 12:1, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And so the Holy Spirit is pleading today for Christians to volunteer to give themselves to his service. But it is a service of choice. And then secondly, this morning, I want you to notice that it is a service of caring, a service of caring. The soldier serves because he cares for his country. And Uncle Sam promises to provide for his needs while he serves. When you serve the American flag, you must have faith in the American government that it will supply all of your needs, your food, clothing, shelter, medical needs, and even your companions are supplied by your government. Well, when you serve the Christian flag, you must also have faith in the one that has called you into his service. You have faith, you must have faith that he will supply your every need. When you enlist in the Lord's service, you will not have to worry about your physical needs when you serve Christ. This is why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek." And the word Gentiles there is a reference to lost people. All these things that the lost people seek. He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Lord wants to give assurance of his provision to the soldiers in his army, to those who have put their service for him in the forefront of their lives. And so he says to them, "All these things shall be added unto you." And Christians all over the world who are serving the Lord can tell all kinds of wonderful stories about how God has miraculously provided for them. But really, all you have to do is look at the life of Moses to see this. When you look at the life of Moses, you see how God provided for him as he led the children of Israel out of bondage. It is estimated that Moses led between 2 and 3 million people out of the bondage of Egypt. And they all had to be fed. And feeding between 2 and 3 million people requires a lot of food. According to the Quartermaster General in the U.S. Army, Moses would have had 1,500 tons of food every day. And remember that they were out in the desert, right? And yet, being in the desert, they still would have to have had firewood to use in cooking the food. They said, take 4,000 tons of firewood a day. And just think, this went on for 40 years. For 40 years they were in transit. 1,500 tons of food, 4,000 tons of firewood for every day for 40 years. And oh yes, they would have to have water. And if they had only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons a day. A day. And then another thing. They had to get across the Red Sea in one night. One night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, that line would be 800 miles long and would require 35 days and nights to walk through. And so there had to be a space in the Red Sea about 3 miles wide so they could walk across 5,000 abreast in order to get across in one night. But then there's another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground two-thirds the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, or a total of 750 square miles of space for camping. Now, do you think Moses figured all that out before he left Egypt? I don't think so. You see, Moses believed in God. And that God would take care of these things for him. Even if he had to send manna from heaven. And even if he had to provide water from a rock. God had no problem taking care of their needs. And God will have no problem taking care of your needs. Our God is an awesome God. And as we provide him with our loving service, he provides us with his loving care. And so we see it is a service of choice. It is a service of caring. And then third, it is a service of commitment. Let me tell you this. It would be ill-advised for anyone to join one of the branches of the military unless they believe in what they're doing and are willing to make a total commitment. They have to be willing to commit themselves to putting service to their country above family, above careers, above hobbies, above friends. It requires a total commitment that Uncle Sam comes first. In essence, your life no longer belongs to you. It now belongs to Uncle Sam. When you serve the American flag, you are expected to be completely committed to your country and to allow nothing to prevent you from performing your duties and serving faithfully. And along these same lines, when you serve the Christian flag, you are also expected to be completely committed to Christ and His kingdom. You're expected to serve Him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing His will. And the New Testament teaches this. In Luke chapter 5, verse 11, it says this about Peter, James, and John. It says, when they had brought their ships to shore or to land, it says, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, unfortunately, today's Christians have a hard time comprehending that type of commitment. However, we do find commitment in some areas and in some people's lives today. We certainly see it in sports, don't we? Like the story of the young man who was very excited because he won a ticket to the Super Bowl. But his excitement lessened as he realized that his seat was way at the top of the stadium, in what we sometimes refer to as the nosebleed section. So he began to search the rows ahead of him to see if there might be a better seat that was open that nobody was using. And he found an empty one right next to the field. And he approached the elderly gentleman who was sitting right next to the empty seat, and he asked him if it was taken. And the man said, no, go ahead, have a seat. Well, the young man was amazed, you know, that this seat was empty. And he asked that older man, how could anyone pass up a seat like this? And the man said, well, that's my wife's seat. We've been to every Super Bowl together since the day we were married, but she has passed away. And the young man said, oh, that's sad. He said, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, but couldn't you find a friend or a relative to come with you? And the man said, no, they're all at her funeral. Now that's commitment, isn't it? That is commitment to a sport. So in the world of sports, we see an amazing commitment on the part of many. But you know, we also see it in some marriages. One of the most beautiful things in life is to see a couple totally committed to each other. There are just some couples that are so committed to each other that they have truly become one. You never see one without the other. And it's beautiful to see a couple like that. And while there are many marriages that lack commitment, thankfully, there are marriages today where the husband and the wife are totally committed to each other and do not allow anyone or anything to come between them and their spouse. And it's because of this type of commitment that Christ uses the illustration of marriage to describe His relationship to believers. Service in the Lord's army requires total commitment. In Luke 14:33, Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And the Apostle Paul talks about how he applied this to his own life when he writes in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And so we see it is a service of choice, it is a service of caring, it is a service of commitment. One last thing and we'll finish up, and that is, it is a service of complying. When you serve the American flag, you're required to follow orders and you are expected to be obedient to the letter. And when you serve the Christian flag, Christ expects and requires no less. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Keep my commandments. John Newton, the writer of the most famous hymn in church history, the hymn Amazing Grace, wrote these words. He said, "If two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them to go and rule over the greatest nation on earth, and the other to go sweep the streets of the dirtiest village, each angel would be completely indifferent as to which one got which assignment. It simply wouldn't matter to them. Why? Because the real joy lies in being obedient to God." And the same thing should be true of us as well as believers in Christ. For a Christian, the important thing shouldn't be what God has us doing. The important thing is that we're doing what God wants us to do. And so to be a true spiritual veteran, one must completely be devoted to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. To become a true veteran of the cross, we must be a good soldier of the cross. And my prayer is that certainly God would bless all of our military veterans, but also that God will help us as Christians to be the very best soldiers of the cross that we can possibly be. That He would help us to be committed to the work and compliant to the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God today and for the opportunity to search it and seek out your truth. And I pray you'd help us as believers to take these principles of service and apply them to our lives and to our service for you. Help us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be surrendered and yielded and committed to you. And help us, Lord, to live in obedience to your word so that our lives can really count for the cause and so that our lives can bring glory and honor to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.